15 and 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you want to make a note, y'all want to hear a couple of three funny things that happened to me today? Here's three things that happened that were funny to me today. I messed this blind up this morning. I messed it up. I almost had it all messed up, but then Rick, he rescued me with some advice on it. But while I was working on it, Scott was singing that song, the first one he sung, and he said where he worked his whole life, but he changed it to working on the blinds his whole life. So, you know, that was funny. And then earlier, before we came to church tonight, if y'all weren't here this morning, I didn't wear my shirt tucked in, and I didn't have a tie on, and I didn't have a suit coat. But then this evening, I dressed a little bit more up, I guess. And my wife, you know what she said? Well, you didn't dress up this morning, but you're all dressed up tonight. That hurt a little. But I don't care. Now that y'all want the funniest one of the night, Anna'd be all right if I say it. Okay. I walk back here to Anna and Bud, and I say, well, what's the word on the street? And Anna goes, we're not street people. Anna, thanks for saving my comic routine. I'm going to write that. I told her I'm putting that in my memoirs. I'm going to write a book, and I'm putting that in there. We're just not street people. We don't know. All right. Let's get into Word. Tonight's message will be I'm hoping it'll be a maintaining message. Listen, Christianity, faith in Jesus Christ. You come to Christ, there should be this overwhelming moment of rebirth. You must be born again, okay? You come out and there's this, you should be excited. You should be a little bit loud. You should make some mistakes. You should fall on your face. You should get up. All these different things and emotions that happen. But then in time, there should be some maintaining. Maintenance. Does anybody know about maintenance? If you do good maintenance on lawnmowers, on cars, and on houses, it keeps you from making major repairs. Amen? So your relationship with Christ is a maintaining relationship. You're in the relationship, you're married, you're born again, you're rebirthed, but guess what? It takes maintenance. And I know it's sometimes you think it's boring, it's hard, but it's not. What it is you find the love and the details and the intimate relationship with Christ in the maintaining. What does that mean? I'm going to read and I'm going to pray and I'm going to study. I'm going to spend time alone with Jesus where He can spend time alone with me. That way when I live my life in front of other people, they can see that I've had a relationship with Jesus in the maintaining hours. Guys, I can't force you to do this, and nor would I want to. But you need to spend some time with Jesus in your own time. And it won't hurt you to set an alarm clock to do it. To set an appointment time. God, I'm going to get up. If you're a morning person, say, God, I'm going to get up. And I'm going to give you 15 minutes of passion. You say, well, I can't do 50. Well, give him 5. But I guarantee you this, if you give him 5, you'll want to give him 25. And if you want to give him 25, you'll find he's so good that you'll spend it. I'll give him an hour. Now, if you have to go to work, that's fine. And if you're not a morning person, because some of y'all right now are going, I ain't a morning person, man. Well, but hey, if you're that night owl, man, hey, go in there, shut the door, and get it done at night. I'll tell you, I can do both. I'm being honest with you. Some nights, Friday nights, me and God, I brew the coffee, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, me and God. Every other day, I get up, 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm me and God. Any other night during the week, 10 o'clock, I want to be in the bed. All right, y'all got me? All right, so we're talking about maintenance. Now, what I'm going to preach tonight will have some maintenance in it, but I'm hoping it'll have a gut shot in there for you too. So, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get y'all to love that this is not going to be the most exciting message. Usually those are different than me. Let's get in. Matthew 22, verse 15. I hear a page turning, so I'll give you time. Matthew 22, verse 15. Then when the Pharisees, is that what y'all are seeing? Good. Then when the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Shame on them. Shame on them. They're not going to Jesus. They're not going to God to learn, to grow, to be better. They're going to see if they can trip God up. And if they'll go to try to trip God up, guess who they're going to go to try to trip up? Us. Amen? If people, listen, if somebody will go to Jesus and try to trip him up, they'll come to you and try to trip you up. And I told you I was going to give you some reference verses. That Romans 16:7. You don't have to turn over there. I'll run over there real quick for you. Romans 16:17. Listen to what it says. I know I said 7, but it's 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. That means identify them, which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Avoid them. Man, that's tough, ain't it? Yes, Kevin, it's tough. 2 Timothy 2:23. Listen to this verse. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, especially the foolish ones. They don't say, sorry. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. Amen? Is that pretty cool? Are you glad that's in there? I am. Because listen, when somebody wants to know about Jesus and they got an open heart and open mind, it'll tell. You can tell. I can tell hungry people. Amen? Hungry people say, teach me, show me. What do you think about this? I was studying this. Is there anybody in here that's a Christian when you get excited about something you read, you don't totally understand it, but you want to know? It looks so different. Man, I read this, and I think it means this, but can you help me expound on it and make it more clear? Amen? It sounds a lot different than this. What do you think about that verse? No, read it. And now tell me what you think it says. And you can just see them. It's like they got a ball bat behind their back. Wrong! Poof! You missed it. It means something else. You know, and Jesus had these type people, and you're going to have these type people. So you need to understand and resign in your mind that there's going to be some people like this in your life. Avoid them. Golly, never mind. When I was a young Christian, ooh boy, when I first got saved, I loved to sword fight. Amen? Y'all, that means the Bible's called a sword. And if somebody drew their sword, I was quick to like, you know? You want to duel with me? Amen? And usually it was two believers. Ching, ching, ching. Well, you're going back and forth arguing. Oh, I don't believe in this. I don't believe that. You're wrong. I'm wrong. And unbelievers are sitting over going, man, them are idiots. Man, that's dumb. Man, especially with somebody who and you could see them coming from a mile away. As soon as you see them make it, they want to have a tangle. They want to have a wrestling match. They want to argue. They want to prove you wrong. You know them, and they know they can't be happy, and you can't either, saying, go to your church and enjoy that. And I'll be at my church enjoying that. No. I mean, you could almost hear, it's like high noon. You know? You know one of the best lessons I learned? And you need to learn it? When you draw for your sword, back in the sheath. Say, nah, man, I'm good. After a while, they'll have to go find somebody to fight with. Oh, never mind. But I want you to know it. It's in the Word. You can avoid that. Why would you want to avoid that? Because you want to find the people who want to learn, and you want to find the people who will help you learn. God, come on, help me out. I knew I said this was going to be dry, but it's not now. I understand it. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. It doesn't say iron defeats iron. Amen? Now, we might find some stuff that we don't totally agree on. But eventually we got to say, okay, it seems like we're not going to agree there. Let's move on. But guess what? On the things that we do agree on, can we grow each other? Can we help each other? Can we be better here? Yes. Man, I love when somebody opens something up to me that I ain't never seen before. I love when somebody, man, it's not a competition for me. When somebody says something and it resonates, I'm like, whoa. I want that. Amen. I mean, I was listening to Billy Graham just the other night, and I mean, he opened up some stuff to me that I'd never thought about. I mean, as soon as he said it, he was preaching in Boston. Amen. And Boston's very liberal now. But you know what he said? There was a time when you weren't very liberal. He said, there's monuments and there's statues erected just because the gospel started here. He said, but guess what? Too much is given, as much is required. You let it slip. We take it for granted. Up here on this mountain, we'll always have the gospel. We'll always be biblically sound. Not always. 50 years from now, it might not be the way. Amen? We might have some people come in and say, we don't want to hear that anymore. Or you can't preach that anymore. And then we'll say somewhere like, well, over there in Africa, man, them poor people. But what if Africa all of a sudden starts building up churches? And they're like, hey, bring the gospel. Y'all good? How many verses have we got in so far? One. Yeah. I thought this was going to be like a hard message to preach, but it's going pretty good so far. And they sent unto him their disciples with the Herodians. Are true. No, they didn't. Oh, never mind. Sorry. Know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest no persons of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt me, ye hypocrites? I love Jesus. God, love that's in there. I mean, he's ruthless. Why are you trying to test me, right? No, come on. That's fun. Because sometimes you just need to tell somebody, why are you trying to test me? Why are you trying me, man? No, I'm not, brother. Did you see how they started out? They said, we knowest that thou art a teacher and you teach the truth. No, you don't know that. If you had knew that, you would have knew you shouldn't be asking him dumb questions. And then Jesus comes right over the top and calls them hypocrites. Whew. We might think it, but we won't say it. Hypocrites. He calls them. He says, you're a hypocrite. Right? He said, listen, do we pay taxes? You know what I mean? That's what he said. Do we pay taxes to Caesar? That's a, you know what they're doing? They're trying to set the table. They're trying to get the God man to say, we're not paying taxes to Rome. That way when they accuse him in front of Pontius Pilate, they'll say, this man right here said he ain't paying his taxes. He's getting crucified. You know what I mean? But Jesus is cooler than the other side of the pillow. That's an old term. I'm going to have to find a new one, but I like that one right now. Sorry. Show me the tribute money, verse 19. Show me the tax money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is this image and subscription? And they said unto him, Caesar. Then he saith unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Is that cool? Is he awesome? He said, hey, bring me some of that tax money. Whose picture's on that? Like Caesar. He goes, cool. He said, give what belongs to Caesar, Caesar. It means pay your taxes. Live under the law. Live under the law as long as the law don't infringe on you believing and trusting in me. The minute that stops, you stop. Amen? But you give them what's theirs. That's theirs. That's their money. That's their stuff. You pay the tax. You do what you got to do to survive. Be under the law. Be submissive to the law. Every authority was given by me anyway. God says, I raise up kings and kingdoms. Amen? So when you say, well, it's a bad kingdom. No, it's a God kingdom to bring something to pass. Amen? He says, do what, give unto them what's theirs. But you know what else he said? What else did he say? Give unto God what is God's. Ouch. This is the gut punch. I hate to tell y'all this, but this is it. Are we giving to God what's God's like we give to the government what the government's is? Whoa. I know. Don't give me. Oh, the preacher's talking about money and he's talking about tithing. I'm out of here. I don't check out in your mind just yet. What if we just give God what we should give him? Our money, our time, and our effort. Our blood and our sweat and our tears. I was listening to somebody preach today, and he says, God talks more about finances than he does anything else in the Bible. But I don't really agree with that so much, but I will agree with this. You know why God speaks about money so much? Not that he cares if you have a bunch of it or you have their lack of it. I made that last part up. If you have a lot or if you have none. Do you know what money represents? Money represents time. Wherever you work, what you're doing is you're selling yourself and your time. You're saying, I will come down here and work, and I will give you 8 hours of my life for said amount of money. God, I'm preaching. If y'all don't know, I'm preaching. And what you're saying is, this job is worth X amount of money for X amount of hours. And guess what? When you give your time, they give you a check for the time that you spent down there. And that's why God talks about money, because he wants to see what you're doing with the time that he's given you. And God says, give me 10% of it. Amen? Give me 10% of it. He's like, oh, God, I can't afford that 10%. Amen? Now, that's just a tithe, right? What God wants to see is, what are you going to do? Give Caesar what is Caesar, but give me what's mine. And see, a lot of times we say, but God, I can't afford it. But here, let me explain it this way. And I don't care if you give your money here or wherever. I don't care. You know, that's between you and God. If you go to church somewhere, you should tithe at that church. That's between you and God. Amen? But I want you to hear this right here. I want you to hear what he says right here. Give to me what's your, listen, what you're saying when you give your tithe and when you give your offering to God, you know what you're saying? God, here's what I think about you giving me the ability to work and the time to work and everything. And you know what? My time that is important to me, I give this back to you because it's important to you. I know I don't like preaching about money. It's uncomfortable. But what if? Now listen, I'm just saying, what if you get audited by, somebody said about the IRS, what if you get audited by the government? But what if we get audited by God? And he says, how about your time? How about your effort? How about your passion? How about your love? Give to God what's God. Can I move off that just for a little bit, because y'all are uncomfortable about the money situation? Me too. I'll move off. Can I give you this one for some of you teachers in here? Some of you people want to be teachers and preachers and ministers and do Bible school and VBS and Awana and stuff like that. Can I sow into your life? How much passion do you give to the people that you're sowing into? What do you do this? Do you say, oh, I've got to teach. Well, I don't have something, an hour. I don't have 40 minutes worth of message. But can you give them 5 minutes of your passion? Can you give them 5 minutes of just, hey, this is what I got. It ain't much, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Or do sometimes we just say, well, you know what? I'm not good enough. I didn't do enough, so I'm not going to give you anything. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to give you anything. Man, I'm walking on that. Y'all was liking me a minute ago. It's so quiet in here. I'm not going to have any friends after this message. But I didn't really come to make friends. He said unto them, whose image, and let's jump down to verse 22. When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. They like, we're out of here. We can't deal with this. Amen? Now check this out. There was another group. There's always another group, right? There's these Sadducees in verse 23. Then that same day came the Sadducees, which they say there is no resurrection, and asked him. You know what the problem with that is? They don't believe in the resurrection, but they're talking to it. In John chapter 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection. There ain't nothing more messed up than you not believing in the resurrection and you're talking to it. You know you're already fouled up when you're talking to Jesus. You say, we don't believe the resurrection. Well, you aren't looking at me. I love the resurrection. I love preaching on it. I love teaching on it. I just don't like the week after I do it. Because me and my wife go through turbulence and trials and temptations and all kinds of stuff after we preach on the resurrection. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? 4 people in here are saved. Okay, good. No, I'm just messing. All right, so if you're saved, then you know that you are a part of the resurrection already. Do you know that? Do you know what you'll do if you knew that you were already a part of the resurrection? you wouldn't fear death, sickness, pain, heartache, or nothing. You would resign in your mind, I'm already in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The minute I die, I'm going to be in a better place. The minute I've drawn my last breath, I'm in the right place. Now, I ain't got a death wish because I've got grace to live and grace to minister and grace to be here. So I'm not looking to die, but God, if I do, guess what? I'm promoted. Devil, you can't really do anything to me. See, a lot of times we don't live in that sold out. See, when I preach on the resurrection, it reminds you of, guess what? We're not living for here. And if the devil does want to take you out, because sometimes if you get so sewed into Christ and so living for Him, you'll understand that you like to be with Him more than you like to be with anybody else. And one day, guess what? He's going to remove the barrier. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to remove the barrier. One day He's going to say, I'm getting tired of heaven without you. Golly, y'all. Man, I can't wait till that. I can't really be honest. I can't wait till the day when God says, you know what, Kevin? Heaven be a better place for you. Amen. Now, I ain't resigned that in my mind yet, and He ain't either, but when He does, praise God, I'm not going to mope around about it. Amen. I'm going to tell my loved one, but hey, better pack up, run your race. Hey, meet me up there, amen. Hey, we're running our race right now. The finish line's Christ Jesus. Hey, the day I have my funeral, guess where I'll be? Glory. I'll be there. Don't be moping around at the funeral for me. Find some fireball who don't have no more common sense than just to preach Jesus. Roll the old casket out of the way and let them fire away. I mean, let them give it. Hey, give it to them. And sing a song and say, hey, guess what? His carcass is here, but the spirit, man, he's more alive than he's ever been. That's the way you need to live your life. You'd be tough to deal with if you understood the resurrection. I'm already in heavenly places. I'm already there. Well, there ain't really a lot the devil can do to me that God don't want to be done. Well, if they move over there, if they leave over there, if they do that, if we don't get this job, if we don't do that, praise God, you act like God's not in control. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, I already know. I've given you an expected end. Never mind. We act like we're just down here calling all the shots. God's like, no, you ain't calling none of them. Oh, it's good. Verse 24, saying, Master Moses, these guys are dumb, but we'll go through it. Saying, Master Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up his seed unto his brother. Verse 25, now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, and unto the seventh. And at last, all of the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? And they all had her as a wife. That's what they're saying. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do error. You're wrong. God, I love Jesus. You do error, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. He goes, one, you don't know the Scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. Man, let me say this. I don't know all the Scriptures, and I definitely don't know the full power of God. But I do know better than trying to tempt God. I do know better than trying to trip God up and say dumb things and say, well, about this? What about this situation? What about these seven brothers who married the same wife? Yeah, hey, you're going back to Levitical law and you're trying to get somebody tied up and to say, well, when we get to heaven, they're all married, they're all brides, all this. You know what? Jesus said, you know what? Heaven's better than that. Y'all ain't going to believe this, but we're looking through a glass darkly. That's what the Bible says. No, y'all get off the hook right there. The Bible says you can't even think. You can't comprehend. You can't imagine what heaven's like. He said, you're looking through a glass darkly. We sitting there going, oh, so-and-so. I can't believe. They're up in heaven going, but this is amazing. There's not one person in heaven right now who would trade places and come back here. Not one. They would be like, no. I'm still on the books. When I get to heaven and I'm wrong, you come. I still think Lazarus is the maddest man in the whole Bible. I'm serious, and I've preached that here, and you know it, but I guarantee them two knuckleheaded sisters, he's like, you two. You know what I mean? I had done crossed over. I was as happy as I could be. I'm in the press, and here you go. You know what I mean? Come hopping out there in his death clothes. Martha, your A-type personality, always got to have it your way. Right? some A-type personalities. Do you ever once in a while go, amen, and identify yourself? You want to control and run everything, even God. God, if you'd have been here 3 days ago, you could have done a better job. God says, I think I got this, Martha, I'm the resurrection. And we all hate those Mary types, don't we? Always just worshiping, weeping, having a time of their life, and ain't doing nothing but having a good time. That's all you do. Look at her worshiping. She's just worshiping. God said she's chose the better thing. Oh, never mind. I can't identify with the Marys much either. I'm one of them A-type personalities. I want to have control up to the very end. God's always, I love that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. And I like that one, I don't want to be the driver. I'm lying half the time. God's got to beat my hand off the steering wheel all the time. Oh, God, I can do this. Oh, he's like, get there and get in the back. And if you don't shut up, I'm going to duct tape you and put you in the trunk. Amen. Hey, some of you A-type personalities in here need to say amen every once in a while. Because you know God will he'll put you in the trunk. You don't even get to look out the window. I could tell you all the different plans that I had when I got saved. God, well, this is where we're going to do, and this is where we're going to go, and this is how it's going to happen. And God said, I love your plans. They make me laugh. Amen? You do err. You know not the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. We can't comprehend that. I can't. I don't even want to try, but I will say this, but heaven's better. The relationships are better. They're sweeter. They're different. There's, you know, got no flaws. There's no incompleteness. Can I preach on marriage for a minute? Will y'all mind if I peddle? Let's peddle around a little bit. Marriage, down here, you're supposed to help and complete each other. That's the way it's supposed to work. Your husband, guess what? God looked at him and said, he can't do it all alone. He needs you to help. Help, right? Help's not makeover, amen? Right? It's not makeover. It's not, hey, you got to change it. The reason you have so much trouble is you're trying to change something that God already said, you just come along and help, amen? But guess what? All of a sudden, you know what? There's another part of this. The wife comes in and she's there to help you. And she's not somebody that you lord over. She's not somebody you tell everything to. She is a helpmate. Woo! I might as well want to stay out of this mess. Amen? We are supposed to be a team. We are supposed to be one flesh. We are supposed to come along and we're supposed to help each other. And your weaknesses is usually their strengths, and their strengths is usually your weakness. And all of a sudden they just blend together. And you know what? You start completing each other's sentences and thoughts and ideas. But guess what? Their strength all of a sudden comes in when you need it. And if you're a wise husband, you go like this. Thank God I married you, because you do all the stuff that I can't even comprehend. And it would be all right sometimes if you would look at the other person, your husband. Thank God I married you. I love you. You are my protector. You're my provider. You're my shield. I thank God for you, because I'm not lonely. I'm not without. I've got a helpmate and a person who I can get up under and have to hold. Because some of you in here know what it's like not to have that now. And you would like to tell somebody, don't take for granted what you got. Man, preacher's pretty good preaching. Pretty good preaching right there, preacher. That's what God does. Amen? But when we get to heaven, we won't need any of that. Because we'll be complete in Him. Amen? And what's going to reside is a sweeter relationship with everybody. A perfect relationship. And everything we will need is in Christ. And everything we need is in ourselves there. Amen? Golly, that's a weird one, because I know somebody will come up to me after church and go, I love my husband and I want to spend all the time I want with him. That's not going to be any good. But guess what? That's just not the way it's going to work out. It's going to be better. This is going to be better. Maybe we won't have to argue no more. Gets a whole nother one. Maybe we won't have to argue. But we like to make up. Oh, y'all are so mean. Yeah, golly, half of you just went like, I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Well, you can just take your spiritual cell phone to the house. Amen. Amen. I don't even know where I'm at now. I should have left that last part alone. All right, verse 30. But in the resurrection, they're neither male nor they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Verse 31. But as touching the resurrection, God, I love how Jesus, he said, let me just touch on this. The resurrection of the dead. Have you not read that which is spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You know why he said this to the Sadducees? The Sadducees only recognized the first five books of the Bible. They did not recognize any other writings, any other institutions. They recognized the first five books of the Bible, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. So you know what he did? He took their biggest, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He took the ones that they did believe in and they did follow. You know what he said? He said, you're recognizing them as done and past. He goes, I recognize them as alive and well. I am the God of the living. God, no, never mind. I hope y'all can get a hold of this. But everybody you think's dead, that we're in Christ Jesus, they're alive. Because God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And you got a spirit man, and he can't die. All he can do is he can be put in a place called hell if he's never been rebirthed, or he can go to a place called heaven because he's been born again. Amen? That's only two things that can happen. But that spirit man's got to go somewhere for eternity. And guess what? When it's been born again and it has a name written in glory, guess what? That spirit lives on until the body, that new glorified body, and that spirit comes together. When that thing comes together, guess what? We're rocking on for eternity. I'm going to say this. I want y'all to hear this very clearly. This has been on my mind since this morning. I can't even comprehend this sometimes. But August 28 of 04, I committed my life to Christ. Now, y'all have heard me say that date before. But sometimes it weighs on me. What a big decision that was. Because I ain't got a lot of stuff right in my life. But that one thing I got right. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't know where I'm going to spend tomorrow. I don't know where I'm going to spend tonight. But I do know where I'm going to spend eternity. Because one day, when God, I'll say it again, one day when God, not when a man, not a mother, not a grandmother, not a friend, but God got in my life, came down, and said, it's time. I got one thing right. I said, it's time. And I want you. Matter of fact, I don't just want you, I need you. And man, now I can sit around and think of all the ends and all the things that can happen. And you too, if you're saved, you can think of all the things that's going to happen, all the scary things. But then all the things you start reminding yourself, wait a minute, but 10,000 years from now, I'm going to be in glory as it's just begun. Amen? If you've got that figured out today, man, it wouldn't hurt you every once in a while to run your paw up. Amen? Well, we don't raise our... It wouldn't hurt you just one bit every once in a while. When you're reminded that you're going to spend eternity in heaven and you know the stuff, you know who you are. I know who I am. Every once in a while, I'll be out on my lawnmower mowing. Because I don't know why God does it, but when I get to doing stuff, God will work on me. Especially if I'm mowing or weeding. I'll be like, God, why did you save me? I wouldn't have saved me. But I'm glad you did. Because we can have all the church we want to have, sing all the songs we want to sing, read all the Bible we want to read. But praise God. If you ain't got Jesus, man, this thing, it don't end well. But I got Him. If you're saved, you got Him. And man, every once in a while, just tell Him, God, thank you. Especially on them bad days. We should worship on our bad days as much as we do on our good days. One of them days where you're just under your breath saying all that stuff. Just run your little paw up. I'm going, thank you, Lord. Despite who I am, despite how I act, thank you for saving me. Thank you for reminding me. You can worship yourself out of a bad mood. Let's all stand up. So come get a song of invitation.